Right out of the box, we are joined in studio by one of our favorites on the program here to fill us in on what's coming up in the weeks ahead at the Amera Astronomy Center. Sean Lash is with us in studio. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you back with us twice in 1 month.
Yeah, doing a little push because I have some travel coming up, so trying to get a few things done before we head out.
Well, we got a lot of things going on as we wrap up the month of May and swing into the month of June. And let's talk about some of the June programming. And everybody, when they find out you're going to be on the show, the first question they ask me is, what's the music going to be?
Yeah. So in June, we're going to have a program called Killer Queen. So it will feature the music of Queen. There's one last chance to see Led Zeppelin. That's this week, Friday. Mm-hmm. Then next month, we'll be doing Queen for our music show at 9 p.m. on Friday nights. Friday Night Astronomy program next month is called Incoming. It's narrated by George Takei from Star Trek.
Awesome.
And it takes a look at asteroid impacts, things like that here on Earth and how they've changed our environment over time and things that we're watching for now. So that's a lot of fun and coming up. And then, of course, we finished up our run of Cosmic Colors, our family program this past Sunday. And the one that starts this upcoming Sunday is Cell, which takes a look at cells in the human body. And we fly, take you inside the human body, explore a little bit about how our cells work together to make all the systems required to let us do what we do. So a lot of different fun things.
That sounds great. And also because school, thankfully, will be wrapping up here in just a few weeks' time, some great summer afternoon shows coming up, and they all get underway on Friday, June 21st with The Little Star That Could.
Yeah, so we'll be doing 2 o'clock matinees starting on the 21st on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So that'll be additional programming for the summer months, and that'll go all the way till the 30th of June. Our titles will change each day, so do check that out on the website, and we'll be running through a variety of our programs, both family programs, but also programs geared for general audiences as well, because we do have summer visitors and things like that. So just double check the calendar ahead of time online to make sure that you're coming for the show that you like. And if you missed something earlier this year in our lineup, of course, you can check that out, too. We don't have any music shows running in the lineup. I have had a few folks ask about that. not yet, but we do have our regular programming and a variety of the different programs, so folks can catch up on some of that stuff, too.
That sounds awesome. And what's coming up in the month of June up in the skies? Are there some celestial events to keep...
Now our planets are, starting to move back into the evening sky. So coming up in June, you're going to start to see Jupiter and Saturn reemerge in the early evening sky. So probably Jupiter will be visible around 10:30 at night, and then Saturn probably a little after 11. So they'll be coming up in the eastern sky and be visible for a good chunk of the night. Mars, is still there, but it's kind of low on our horizon over in the west. But at least we'll be getting those evening planets again, and some that are really spectacular to look at through the telescope. And on Friday nights, again, after our public shows in June, we'll be doing that after our 9 o'clock music show, of course, because of getting dark a lot later. But we'll be opening up our telescope when the weather cooperates and giving folks a chance to take a look through things.
That sounds very exciting indeed. We're coming up, of course, a lot of 50th anniversary celebrations, celebrating the flight of Apollo 11. And I guess there are still people that ask this question, maybe more now, because those of us who grew up in the space program watching it, we understood how important it was. But a younger generation, I think, sometimes questions it. What is some of the science, actual science and discoveries that came from our manned space program?
Well, there's been numerous things, of course, that have come from the space program in terms of science. But I do always remind folks the reason we went to the moon was not for science. In fact, Kennedy's science advisor at the time said he would endorse the project as long as they said we wouldn't go for science. So, of course, in Kennedy's famous speech, he says, we go to the moon not because it's easy, but because it's hard and things like that. Because at that time we were in a space race with the former Soviet Union. And it really, by doing that, meant you could put a missile anywhere on Earth that you wanted to. Now, that being said, there was a lot of great science that was done. We learned a lot about the moon's formation, and we now think that that's related to Earth's formation in terms of a collision with the Earth, with a large body that probably formed our moon. We know the moon is extremely important in the evolution of life on our planet, so lots of things there. And, of course, a whole variety of things had to be developed for going to the moon, new plastics, new materials, micronization of a number of computer systems from being, these huge mainframes that fit inside buildings to being able to fit in a smaller area. So there are lots of advances that came from the moon program and from manned space flight in general. We're still developing lots of new things that are coming out of that program. So it's a major milestone, and we're going to be doing some special events, of course, to celebrate it. We're doing an event called The Moon, Mars, and Maine, and it's going to sort of look at those three topics, sort of the anniversary of the moon, the potential of going back to the moon and on to Mars, and Maine's involvement in that role. So we'll be doing that on July 20th, the actual anniversary date. It'll be an all-day program, and there'll be sort of morning sessions and afternoon sessions geared for either family audiences or adult audiences. It will involve tours of the Lunar Habitat Module on campus, and also the HIAD, which is the Hypersonic Inflatable Aerodynamic Decelerator. Say that 10 times in a row. But it's a device for landing payload packages on Mars that's being worked on at the Advanced Composite and Structure Center on campus. We'll have a keynote speaker, Dr. George Nelson, who's a UMaine alumni, but is the director of the International Space Station's Office of Technology. And he'll be one of the keynote speakers, and we're still working on a surprise keynote speaker, but we'll know a little bit more towards the end of this week or beginning of June whether that's going to happen. But there'll be tours through those areas. There'll be special talks. There'll be planetarium programs, hands-on activities that provided by the Challenger Learning Center up in our classroom area. So all the activities will take place on the UMaine campus, and it's a joint partnership with a variety of different organizations, including the engineering department on campus, Challenger, Bangor Public Library, the Maine Space Grant Consortium is also involved as well in providing some special exhibits for that day too. So lots of, and we'll be releasing tickets here probably around the beginning of June. Those tickets will go on sale. We will have a very limited number because it's going to be a big day, and it will include a lunch, the lunch with a keynote speaker. So that will be kicking off here very shortly.
I have to think too, in terms of the space program, that beyond the science or the scientists, how many people in your line of work and others were inspired by the space program that decided that that's the direction they wanted to go in their life?
Yeah, a huge number. I mean, and you know, a lot of astronauts you talked to were inspired by planetarium. So it's sort of it goes both ways in that way, which is really nice. But when you often talk to, astronauts, they'll say that one of their first experiences that led them to want to pursue that was either a planetarium visit or a museum visit, something that was a non-classroom, you know, a non-traditional type of educational experience that sort of inspired them to go farther. So we hope we're still providing that today. And definitely, I know a number of people in the field, who were inspired by the space program, and that really led them to want to go into the planetarium field and to be able to share what the space program was doing with the broader public and the importance of that with the broader public.
You talked about planets being in the evening sky here as we get closer to summertime. My little guy likes looking up there and checking things out. What's a great way to introduce young people to astronomy? Obviously, going up to the AmeriAstronomy Center, but even on your own, what are some good things that you can do to get them looking up there and to look for and make discoveries of their own?
Yeah, I think a big thing is just getting them to a dark sky location where they can actually see the sky if you can get out of the city. Now, here in Maine, we're very lucky. We have some decent skies. But if you can get outside of the city a little ways or get to a place where you don't have as many lights and they can see the sky, that's a good way. And to start them off with some basic star charts. And there are lots of resources for that. You can, of course, get a device called a planisphere where you can dial in the date and time and it will show you the sky. There's tons of apps, of course, you can use too. And there's even a website called heavens-above.com where you can create star charts from any location and any time and be able to print them out. While the apps and stuff like that are fun, I do think that using a physical chart sometimes, a paper chart, is a good way because they sort of makes them make that connection and get used to lining things up and actually seeing what they're looking for. Sometimes the apps, you can point it there and it's like, oh, you're seeing this, and you sort of are, but sometimes the screen is kind of bright and it actually can be a little bit of a detriment. I mean, it's still a good tool, don't get me wrong, but sometimes the old-fashioned paper ones with a little red flashlight, which will preserve your night vision, will work really good for that. But I think, I always tell folks that you sort of want to start by learning the constellations, because if you learn that, then you'll know where planets are visible because they're going to move through those constellations. Then you move up to binoculars, which are sort of your next logical step, and then possibly to a telescope after that. But definitely the planetarium, we do tours of the night sky, and we'll be happy to show folks things through the telescope to get them started as well. And if folks have questions about telescopes or how to work their telescope, if they get one, we can always help with that too.
That's awesome. Sean Lash, Amera Astronomy Center. Sean, great to see you as always. Travel safely. And we'll see you back before we get into the big July events, right?
Yeah, I should be back towards the end of June, and we'll touch base on July because we have lots of special programming. In addition to that, Moon, Mars, and Maine, we'll have a number of other special programs and during the month for, of course, exploring and reliving the anniversary of Apollo 11.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks so much.